Heavenly Father, we thank you. As we've heard in the song today, it's all about you. It's all about you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to serve you. It's because of your grace. Thank you, Lord. Use this time to speak to us through your word and help us understand your will. Use me as your vessel through your Holy Spirit for your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bible. We go to Acts chapter 16, Acts of Apostles, chapter 16, verse 11 to 15. Acts of Apostles, chapter 16. We're going to read from verse 11 to 15. And I read in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, "From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gates to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my house.' And she persuaded us." I want to complete this with the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart.'" I'm speaking today on the topic which says, the day God opened Lydia's heart. The day God opened Lydia's heart. This is the topic that I'm going to talk about today. And as we've read in the book of Acts of the Apostles, we understand the story of this passage. And the book of this passage we've read, Acts, was written by Luke. As we know, Luke wrote Acts of Apostles, and also he wrote the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is a good gospel, and all those four synoptic gospels are powerful, are wonderful. But something different with the Gospel of Luke is that the Gospel of Luke, for the church purpose, gives us a lot of good things, speaking about the manual for mission, baptism, spiritual living, spirit-led life, and also church growth and courageous faith. So it's a good passage you can read. You read it from the first to the end, you're going to be blessed. And when you read the book of Acts of Apostles, I call it the transition between the gospel to the letters of Paul. It speaks about the church, how the church started, and how the church, how God used the disciple in expanding his kingdom after Jesus ascended to heaven. So here where we've read, we find the story of the lady called Lydia. And that's why I entitled the topic, "The Day God Opened Lydia's Heart." The day God opened Lydia's heart. What a topic, a very strong topic made in Africa. It's a very strong topic. The day God opened Lydia's heart. Wow. So, brothers and sisters, let me begin with a question. What kind of heart do people say you have? Let's reflect about it. How would your family, friend, even God describe your heart? Is it a hardened heart, selfish heart, indifferent heart? Or is it soft, humble, and open to God's leading? What is the condition of your heart? What's the condition of my heart? The Bible speaks a lot about the people's heart, about our hearts. Consider this. In the Bible, two men walked closely with Jesus as disciples. We have Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, and we have Peter, who denied him. Both of them, they committed serious sin. But the end of those were different. We find the difference between their end is because of their action. We can conclude it's because the condition of their heart. Peter's heart was repented and yielded, but Judas' heart was hardened and closed, and he ended up in the wrong position. So, brothers and sisters, if God could change your heart today, what kind of heart would you want to have? A heart that resists, or a heart that surrenders, trusts, and opens itself to God's transforming power. This brings us, brothers and sisters, to this woman called Lydia in Acts 16. The lady Lydia in the Bible was already seeking God. She was a worshiper of God, a woman of faith. The Bible says, yet she had not fully met Jesus. It took missionary team led by Paul, obeying God's vision, to bring the gospel to her. And the Bible says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. I want us to go back again, reflecting to Judas and Peter. You can realize that something crucial is here. God's transforming work in the heart is central to every story of salvation. Salvation belongs to God. He's the one who changes people's heart. Lydia's story shows us a great principle here. She was ready, but the gospel had not yet reached to her. She was worshiping God. She was going to prayer. But God had to act by sending his servant so that Lydia would hear the gospel and give herself to the Lord. In verse 9 where we read, when you go back to the verse 9, you'll find Paul, he had a vision at night. He saw a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. That was the vision that Paul had. It was like a dream, God speaking to him. It was a divine invitation, a clear call to take the gospel to Europe. And Paul and his team, they obey, and they decided to go. The vision was urgent, personal, and unmistakable. A Macedonian man pleading for help, representing countless souls who had never heard the gospel. Imagine how God loves us and how much he works things together so that we don't get lost. He brings the gospel to us. This is marvelous. This is great. The vision shows that missions begin with God's initiative. God sees the need of the world and calls his servant to respond. The day that God opened the heart of Lydia. But there was a need of obedience into action from Paul. Paul had to obey the voice of God, and his team had to not hesitate, but to go where God was sending them. Brothers and sisters, it's still the same. Just as God called Paul, he calls you, he calls me, he calls us to go, to send, to pray, or to support his work. Sometimes the call comes through prayer, through opportunity, or even through vision like Paul. What matters the most is our obedience to the calling. God has a great vision. He has a vision for reaching the lost, to reach people who have never heard about the gospel. And he invites us to participate, you and I. So when we respond, what happened? We become part of his eternal plan to open hearts, just as he did with Lydia in Philippi. So what happened after the vision? Paul and the team, they decide to go. The team was also a beautiful team that I was doing my study here. Paul was with Silas, Timothy, and Luke was there just to as a companion and a writer of, you know, documenting everything. It was a wonderful mission walk. That's a mission trip which was really good. So they traveled to Philippi, sought opportunity to preach, and faithfully share the gospel. And they reached to the prayer gathering where they met women praying, and Lydia was there in the gathering. Who's Lydia? The Bible says she was a businesswoman from the city of Thyatira, known for dealing in purple clothes, which was a luxury product in the ancient world. She lived in Philippi, a leading city in Macedonia. The Bible describes her as a worshiper of God, a God-fearing woman. What a wonderful description. She was worshiping God. But she had not yet encountered the full truth of the gospel. Have we yet had encountered with the Lord? Have you encountered with Jesus? Have you opened your heart to Jesus to have place in your heart? When Paul and his missionary team preach by the riverside, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to the message. She became the first recorded convert to Christianity in Europe. And the Bible says her household was baptized with her. And then Lydia, after that, showed hospitality by inviting Paul and his companions to stay in her home. Come if you think I'm worthy, if you think I'm faithful, come and stay to my place, she said, which later became a meeting place for believers in Philippi. Lydia was a successful businesswoman and sincere seeker of God, and also the first European convert and a generous supporter of the early church. There are some points I want us to learn from this story of Lydia, her conversion. The missions a God chosen means to reach open heart. People are lost in the world. People are lost many places. I do Uber driving. Last time I was doing my, before the back situation, I was driving, and then I picked someone, he was going to another province, and we were talking. By the way, when you call Uber and you see your driver Sammy, get ready. Know that the gospel is coming to you. Yeah, know that. And I love Canada because people are so friendly. So you just have to find your way how to, you know, make things work. So he entered and we were talking, and from here to the airport, and then we are talking. I found him, he was a Muslim, by the way, but he said he doesn't practice Muslim, he doesn't practice Christianity. His wife is a Catholic, so he's lucky for that. But he says he's agnostic. I said, okay, that's good word. Then we start talking, and before we know, I heard him start opening his heart. I said, can I pull over here? And then we lead you to prayer. He said, please do that. I said, wow. Then we pull over. I led him to salvation. I cannot forget this. He said, I received Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. And he said, and also my King. Then I said, yes. Then we drove, and I dropped him at the airport. Missions are God chosen means to reach open heart. People are lost. People need to hear the gospel. God does the saving. When we obey and do our part, God does the saving. We, as children of God who are saved, We need to shake off from this fear that the bad thing which the enemy always bring to stop us, to deter us from reaching out to the lost, fear. So the first point is, fear not. Why? Because God alone opens hearts. You cannot open someone's heart. It's only God who opens people's heart. So fear not. When you have the message, when God sends you, when you feel the Spirit prompting you to do something for God, to share the gospel, fear not. God is the one doing the big part to open people's heart. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Lydia was already worshiping God, but it was not enough for salvation. Only God could enable her heart to receive Jesus. God has many ways and places to convince people to come to him. How about you? Do you remember when God opened your heart and when you received Jesus? I was stuck in my life of sin before I got saved in 1993. I was a polygamist, having two wives. I was about to take the third one, even the fourth one, whatever. You know, I was just lost. And then my wife was praying and praying. I remember one day she was talking to God, and I heard her say, "Hey God, you know, I find this man, he was going to..." I said, "Don't say my name to God. You pray, do your prayer, forget about me." But God hears prayer. I'm telling the truth. 1993, I heard the gospel. God opened my heart. I cried and gave my life to Jesus. God does the part, the great part of saving us. So when we share the gospel, we have to trust God to do the saving work. Our part is obedience, to plant the seed, and God gives the growth. He's the one who works the big part. Point number two that we need to know through this teaching is the gospel must be proclaimed. Lydia had, because he had Paul speaking about God, speaking about Jesus, Lydia had a chance to hear the gospel. And the team came to Philippi and Paul spoke, shared the gospel. The Bible says in Romans, faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. People have to hear the gospel. And we are to open to go and preach the gospel. The gospel must be proclaimed no matter what. We are to accept to take the gospel. There is an illustration which says, a doctor has the cure for a deadly disease. Hope alone does not heal. Only receiving the medicine works. The gospel is God's cure for sin. So the gospel must be preached. People are waiting to hear the message of salvation. You and I are to go to bring that gospel to people and they will hear. The third point, obedience to God's call is essential. Remember when Paul had the vision, if he could not accept and go, that was going to be no good for this great mission and that salvation of this lady. Paul received a vision, come over to Macedonia and help us. The team obeyed immediately, leading them to Lydia. Brothers and sisters, an act of obedience changed the course of salvation history. So, when we hear God prompting us, calling us, sending us to share the gospel, we are to respond with the heart of obedience, to obey the calling and to go. God is calling you, let's go. God is calling us, let's go. Nothing matters in this world apart from serving God. Serving God is the best thing ever. You will never regret. You need to serve God when it's still day. The Lord Jesus say, when I'm still alive, when it's still day, is the time to serve God. I remember back in Africa before we fled because of the war, we came to Uganda. One of the men, I'll not forget, he was a rich man, and then he was very, very sick, and he called me and said, "Can you pray for me?" I said, "Yeah." And then I led him to salvation, and then he cried. He said, "Now I'm saved, but I have no chance to serve God again." I said, "Yeah, still, you're lucky you've given your life to Jesus." So when we're still alive, we are strong, we have health, we have all the capacities, all the potential, let us serve God. Let us join the mission. Let us serve God. Let us support the work of God. And the last point, the fourth point, we see here the partnership in mission, verse 10 to 11. Paul did not go alone. Silas, Timothy, Luke, they accompanied him. Later, Lydia herself became a supporter of the ministry. Mission requires what? The teamwork. Those who go, those who send, and those who pray. I'm glad to see when we entered to the prayer room, I saw the team with Pastor Vic. I said, wow, this is good. This is how it works. We have to work together. There must be a partnership in the work of the Father. No one can do it alone. What I cannot do alone, we can do it collectively. Together, it's always possible. And I'm grateful for this church. You always support me when I go to Uganda. God bless you. And let's keep doing the good work of God. Someone says, a soldier depends on the supply line behind him. Missionaries as well, they depend on the support of the church. It's important to partner in the work of God. You may not go, but you can send, you can pray, and you can support. Everyone has a role in God's mission. And finally, point five, the lesson that I want us to learn is the fruit of missions multiply. So when we go for the work, when we obey God, when we bring the message, God make the work successful. God bring the work to a very good successful result. Even though we are not the one to measure the work of God, the success of the work of God, but we can tell people have given their life to Jesus. When I went, I saw people receiving Jesus, people accepting Jesus. Oh, Lord, glory be to your name. Lydia's household was baptized, and her home became a meeting place for believers. One converted heart can impact families, communities, and even nations. The village that I was talking about called Kayiwa, people are worshiping even now, tree, the big tree. And one day when I was in the mission there, I was walking and saw people doing that. They did a crusade, and that's a crusade for Satan. It was shocking. I was very shocked. And we came there with Pastor, the one who had in blue shirt. We came there, we saw people speaking about preaching Satan, preaching everything about the devil. Then I said, where are we? Are we still in Africa? Is that true? And then, what is the altar call? They are calling people to believe in Satan. And people are flooding and running there to receive Satan. Ah, what a shock. The next day, I told Pastor, we have now to go door to door, speaking to them. If they stone us, if they kick us, okay. We went door to door to contradict, to preach the true gospel. And some, thank God, some received Jesus and they converted. And that's why in November, if God wishes, we go for the big crusade there at that Kawia village in Ichaka. And we want to preach, and we're expecting to have at least 3,000 people. And we want to preach the good news to people. Brothers and sisters, Lydia's story teaches those important lessons. God does the change of the heart. He's God who changes hearts. The gospel must be proclaimed. Obedience to God's call matters. Missions require partnership, and the fruit of mission can be seen if we are obedient. Will you be part of God's mission today? Will you be part of the work of God? Will you be part of what God is doing? The world needs salvation. The world needs to hear about Jesus everywhere, whether in China, whether in Europe, whether in Africa, whether the world needs to hear the gospel. And this is the time. This is the time to bring the gospel to the world. And even Canada, this is a nation where the gospel is needed the most, because the nation is here. So this is the mission field. So we need to raise up and share the gospel. I'm glad to see when I come here, I see multicultural, I see many good people. I say, wow, this is good. So God is bringing us together to prepare us so that we can reach out to these wonderful nations. So brothers and sisters, the hearts of Lydia was transformed because she heard the gospel. Let me ask you a question as I'm closing. Are you afraid that people cannot hear the gospel when you reach out to them? Don't be afraid. God knows how to transform their heart. God is able to change even the people who you think, you thought, or even you had come to the conclusion they cannot be saved. God is able to change them. If he could change Saul and become Paul, he is able to change. And how about you? Have you received Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Remember, Lydia was God worshippers, but she was not yet saved. She has not yet received the gospel. The good news is here today. Jesus is calling you to give your life to him. And if you do so, you'll be saved. May God help us. May God use us. May we be sure that we belong to Jesus and that when he comes, we will be among those who will be taken and meet him in the air. May God bless us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us clearly. Lord, you're still the same yesterday, today, forever. You never change. The way you changed the life of Lydia, you're still in the business of saving people. We thank you for that. If anyone is here, Lord, that has not yet received you, I pray, Lord, that you convince, touch, and save your people. And also we pray, Lord, that you use us effectively in this time of our lives to serve you. The Bible says the harvest is great, but there is a need of laborers. Use us, Lord. Send us. We thank you for your word. Bless everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.